Hello, here we are again with another program. We're in Luke chapter 16. We'll begin at verse number 14. Reading in Luke chapter 16, verse number 14, it says, "And the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. And he said unto them, Ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth unto it. And it is easier for heaven and earth to pass than one tittle of the law to fail." Then he says in verse 18, seems to be off subject, it's not, we'll explain it in a minute. He says in verse 18, "Whosoever putteth away his wife and marrieth another committeth adultery, and whoso marrieth her that is put away from her husband committeth adultery." Now, it starts in verse 14, and it says, "And the Pharisees." It says they were covetous, and it says after they heard the things that Jesus preached, as they always did when he preached, they were upset. But this time it says they derided him. They derided him. Now, that term is only used one other time, is when he was on the cross, and it says they derided him. Now, there was this marks the beginning of a big change. Prior to this, we read they murmured about him, but now they derided him. That is, they openly began to criticize him, and they were, of course, influencing those who believe the Pharisees were correct. Well, Jesus said unto them, the Pharisees, "Ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God." Now, they hated him. They hated Jesus. And one of the reasons that they hated him was because he exposed them for what and who they really were and what they were not. He is revealing the true nature of these people, and they hated him for it. Now, that goes all the way back to Abel, who offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice, it says, than Cain. What did Cain do? He hated him. He not only hated him, he killed him. Then in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 36 and 37, it talked about those that had cruel mockings and scourgings and imprisonment. They were stoned, sawn asunder. They were slain with a sword. They were afflicted. They were tormented. There's a lot of hate there. And if you're going to stand and tell the truth and expose people for what they really are, they're going to hate you. And the apostates will hate anybody today who exposes them. John chapter 15 and verse number 20 says, "The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you." If you're going to be like Jesus, preach like Jesus, expect some persecution from the apostates. We need to understand that the greatest enemy to the cause of Jesus Christ is the religious people. They are the ones who are going to populate hell. Wicked people do not do that, but the religious, self-centered hypocrites do. Now, it says in Nehemiah chapter 6 and verse number 12, when Sanballat, who was a hypocrite, came out and was going to help build the wall, Nehemiah said, "I perceive that God had not sent him." Then in Jeremiah, we have a lot of apostasy in that book. In 23 and verse number 21 says, "I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran," God said. And then in 27 and 15, it says, "I have not sent them, saith the Lord, yet they prophesy a lie in my name." And then in Jeremiah 29:9, "For they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord." There's a lot of that going on in this age in which we are living. Well, Israel at that time was apostate, and Jeremiah 6 and 13 says, "For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness." Covetousness, remember we said in verse 14, the Pharisees were covetous. Well, this same thing in Jeremiah. They were guilty of covetousness, and from the prophets even unto the priests, everyone dealeth falsely. Well, that's a lot of apostasy. Well, the religious apostates in Jesus' day are called Pharisees, and in John 11, verse number 47, it says, "Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council, and said, What do we? For this man doth many miracles. If we let him alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away our place." They're going to change our lifestyle. We can't let that happen. And that's exactly the way it is today in this age of apostasy. Now, we mentioned earlier that in verse 18, it seems like this is totally off subject. All of a sudden, Jesus talks about divorce. He said, "And whosoever putteth away his wife, and marrieth another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her that is put away from her husband, committeth adultery." Why did he bring that up here? Well, if you look at the context here, you go back to verse number 16, he's talking about the law. And it says, "The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presses unto it." Then in verse 17, he said, "It is easier for heaven and earth to pass than one tittle of the law to fail." Now, what was happening, if you study it back prior to this, the Pharisees were constantly accusing Jesus of destroying the law. Now, when it came to divorce, the Pharisees were a group of hypocritical religious leaders, and many, if not all of those that he was talking to, had been divorced more than one time. Yet they were justifying themselves, it says in verse number 15, claiming to have kept the law of Moses. Now, they taught that one could divorce his wife for any cause. If she burnt the meal, put too much salt on it, if she showed off her knees in public, if she said some unkind words about her mother-in-law, if she had not given her husband a son, if she was not as pretty as she used to be, any reason whatsoever, he could give his wife a piece of paper, send her out. That was divorce for any cause. And these religious hypocrites were guilty of doing that. So Jesus said, "Now, you're going to talk to me about violating the law, you religious hypocrites." Actually, it says in Leviticus 20 and verse number 10, "The adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death." And so, "Whosoever putteth away his wife, marrieth another, committeth adultery." That's what they're saying. They're a bunch of hypocrites. They think they can have it both ways. They'll just take whatever part of the law they want to take and justify themselves. Now, in this next section of Luke chapter 16, it runs from verse 19 down to 31. Let's just read it. It's a very familiar portion of Scripture, but it certainly does need some interpretation, and we certainly do need to make some applications. But first, let's look at the information. "There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels into Abram's bosom. The rich man also died, and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou would ascend him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they come to this place of torment. And Abraham said unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Now, first of all, we need to understand that Christ is still talking to the Pharisees. Back in Luke chapter 16 and verse number 14, it says, "He said unto them, ye are ye they which justify yourselves." He is still talking to them, and that doesn't change until we get to Luke chapter 17 and verse number 1, where we read, "Then said he unto his disciples." And so he's talking to these religious hypocrites, these Pharisees, and he said in verse 19, he talks about a certain rich man, and it says that he was rich. The word here means he was very rich. He was very prosperous, had lived a very prosperous lifestyle. It says he was clothed in purple and fine linen. Only the elite had this purple type of a robe. Usually it was something that was only those in royalty that had it. We read in verse 19 that he fared sumptuously every day. That word fared is interesting. It has been translated rejoice 6 times. It has been translated be merry 3 times and make merry 3 times. The word sumptuously refers to him constantly having these very expensive banquets. He's living high. He's having a great time. Well, then, verse number 20, there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores. Now, the beggar, that word has been translated poor 30 times, a poor man 2 times. And notice it says his name is Lazarus. Lazarus means whom God helps. Now, in all of the stories that Jesus told that were called parables, never ever did he mention a person's name. This story, we talk about Lazarus, we talk about Abraham. This is a actual story that actually happened. Now, it says here in verse number 20 that he was laid at his gate full of sores. That's an interesting word, laid. It has been translated cast 86 times. It has been translated cast out 4 times. In other words, this man was brought there. Nobody wanted to take care of him. He was dumped at the main gate of this man's mansion, and he was simply left there. And he was full of sores, which, of course, the Pharisees considered anyone in that situation to be unclean. Never mind trying to help somebody like that. Don't go near him. We're too important to be near that riffraff. Well, he's there at the gate. And the Bible says in verse 21 that he is desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Well, he's desiring something. What are the Pharisees desiring? The Bible says they desired to wear the great robes and have the greetings in the marketplace. What did the mother of Zebedee's children desire? Well, she went to Jesus and said, "Can one of my children sit on your right hand and one on the other hand in your kingdom?" Here's a poor beggar. He's laying at the gate. All he's desiring is to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Well, here the Lord talks about crumbs, and he talks about dogs. What is it referring to here? Well, when they had a banquet like this, there was two types of bread that were there. There was the bread that they ate, and then there was stale bread that they used to wipe up a mess. You remember when they dipped in the sop, they would dip some bread in the sop. Well, they would dribble it all over the table. They would have stale bread, and they would use that stale bread to wipe up the mess, and then they would throw that bread under the table. Why would they do that? Because the dogs would come and clean up the crumbs. They would come and get what's left underneath the table. These were semi-wild street dogs. They weren't little pets that they had in their house, and they're mentioned in the Bible 24 times. Very interesting study. We have an example of that back in Matthew 26, and it says, "Behold, a woman of Cana came out of the same coast and cried unto him," that is the Lord, "saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet, now notice this, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. That word faith there means what she believed. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Well, we read back here in our text about two men who kept their appointment. One was named Lazarus, and one is not named. He's just called the rich man. What appointment was that? Well, it's in Hebrews 9, verse number 27. It says, as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Appointed unto man once to die. You find in Genesis 5:5, Adam died. 5:8, Seth died. Enoch died. Cain died. Methuselah died. And Lamech died. And then you get to chapter 7, verse 21, all flesh died. And then we read in 9:29, all the days of Noah were such and such, and he died. And then Lamech and Haran and Terah and Sarah and Abraham and Ishmael and Rebekah's nurse and Rachel and Isaac and Jacob and King Saul and Judah's wife and Joseph and everybody else died. Everybody dies. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Well, we read in verse number 22, it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abram's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Well, the beggar died. What'd they do with his body? Well, his body, they probably ended up on the city dump. That's where they put people who were crucified or anybody who was like a beggar or that sort of thing. But his soul, the Bible says, went to paradise. The rich man died, his body, well, he had a fancy funeral, and the Bible tells us plainly here that his soul was in hell. Now, it's going to take a bit of explanation to talk about this subject of hell. It says in verse 23, in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And when we're through with this series in the book of Luke, we're going to have a series on the subject of hell. What is it really all about? And we will explain this in detail in that series. But we read here that in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. He seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. He had eyes. He was tormented. In fact, that's in the plural. He cried in verse 24. He said, have mercy on me. I am tormented in this flame. He knew who Abraham was. He recognized what was happening. He cried out for mercy. He said, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, for I am tormented in this flame. Well, he was too busy in his lifetime to be doing any praying. He was having his parties, but we read down here in verse number 27, he's praying. He said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou would send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that they may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torments. That word is used four times in this story. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And there's the key. They need to repent. And we read in verse 31, and Abraham said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Well, here we have the story of two men who kept their appointment. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die. We will all keep that appointment. The serious part of that is, but after this, the judgment, be sure that you are ready to face the Lord.